Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about the cup of the Lord. We're going to be taking communion over this passage of scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where it talks about the cup that we take. It's the cup of thanksgiving, it's the cup of participation, talking about how the bread is the body of the Lord, and we are all one body. We're going to be taking communion over this passage of scripture today. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I was reading in the book of Proverbs one morning, and in Proverbs 13:22, this passage of scripture just seemed to jump off the page at me one morning. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? And after some time of thinking about this and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion the most valuable thing we can pass on will be lessons or teaching or wisdom for how to truly live, for how to walk out this life that God has given us. And so I made it my goal. I made a commitment that day. I'm going to create a system. I'm going to create lessons and teaching and training for every area of life. But really, when I first got started, I had no clue where to start. I was running my personal training gym business, and life was just kind of all over the place. I needed some help in my own life at that point. But God was so faithful. He just began to show up and teach me and train me. And about 10 years later, now it's turned into this whole program that we call the Abundant Life Blueprint. And out of everything that we do in the Abundant Life Blueprint, the most important thing is daily communion. Daily communion with Jesus. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. It's this opportunity to pull his sacrifice into our mind and remembrance and imagination and make his sacrifice active and relevant and alive today in this present moment. It's also an opportunity to help us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 26, the Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in this new covenant. And it's this opportunity to combine the spiritual principles of his sacrifice, to pull them into our soul, into our mind and remembrance and imagination, and combine it with something practical and physical that we actually do in the taking of the cracker and the juice. Unites our entire spirit, soul, and physical body together. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, to take it with the fear of the Lord, with deep reverence and honor and respect and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus, and that God loved us so much, he was willing to send his one and only son. And I think it's important when we take it, to look at both sides of the cross. On one side, we look at his sacrifice. Just honor and awe for what he went through. He was smitten by God. He was crushed by God. He was spit on. He was hit. He was bruised. He was whipped. By his stripes, we've been healed. To look at all that he went through on one side. But then on the other side, to look at all that his sacrifice did for us. That he makes us right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. We have this new covenant now with God, this covenant relationship, this partnership with him, that we can know him. I think it's important to look at both sides of this. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves, because the Apostle Paul says, some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if the communion has the power to do that in the negative, I think it also has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive, if we take it in the fear of the Lord, has the power to make us healthy and strong and give us long life if we take it the right way. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice, because I truly believe physical exercise is meant to teach us how to exercise our faith. It's a physical expression of exercising our faith, to practice receiving this grace by faith and to experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and we can apply them into the other areas of our lives. So let's get started with our prayer. And then we'll get into our time of communion after that. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. You could be an enemy to our enemies. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe, the same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him up from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities today to do good and be a blessing, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. And we ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? Are we making today a masterpiece? And how are we going to do that? We're going to get connected to the Master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact the decisions we make, the things that we do, the things that we think about, the things that we're speaking throughout the day. It's got to impact every area of our lives. And that's where we talk about executing these four fundamentals and putting the fun in the fundamentals, bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into these today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And to be in position, it helps us to receive all that God has for us. Think of a quarterback and a receiver. God's throwing a pass, and we got to be in position to receive all that he's got for us. If we run the wrong way, we turn and go a different direction, we're not in position to receive. So how are we going to get in position? We're going to start with humility. Humbling ourselves in relationship to God, humbling ourselves in relationship to other people. Because it's the humble that are given grace. It's the humble that are exalted and promoted. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle, stop beating ourselves up and condemning ourselves, putting excess pressure on ourselves. And we're going to let that grace and forgiveness flow through us to other people, giving them the same love and grace and forgiveness that God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today, kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering, because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. Staying in gratitude and praise, one of the easiest ways to just maintain our position, help us to receive all that God has for us today. It's like an opener that opens the channels to help us to receive all that he has. And when we take our position, we're stepping into Christ. And God has taken everything that he has, and he gave it all to Jesus. I call it this pipeline of living water, this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has. And we have this amazing opportunity. We get to be in him today. And it's learning how to receive this from him and to get it flowing through us where he's doing the work through us. But what's in there? His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time, his finances, his purpose, his kingdom, you name it, it's all in there. So our first step is to get into position. Our second step is we're going to magnify the light. Think of this like the dimmer switch. We got the lights on, but now we got to turn up the brightness of them. I'm just thinking right now, the lights that I have in here, got one light that I use typically to record these videos with. And it's got an on-off switch, and then it's got a dial to turn up the brightness of the light. We can turn that up. How are we going to magnify that light? It's going to expand the capacity so that God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to help get this new covenant established in our hearts so that we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when life starts throwing stuff at us throughout the day. And how are we going to do it? I think of it as, what are we focused on? Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. What are we meditating on? When I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. So to magnify the light, we can stay meditating on God's word, thinking about it and talking about it, rolling it over on the inside, magnifying and meditating on his unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him. We can magnify our righteousness in Christ. We've got right standing with God. We've got peace with God. We've got his blessing and favor on our lives. We can magnify every good thing that he put within us. We've got this treasure in jars of clay. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well and looking back at how far God has already brought us. Looking at what he's already done. Because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. And this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's choosing to bring them into the light. And we're going to magnify God as bigger than those issues and problems. Rather than toiling away and just letting those problems and issues roll over and over in our mind, we're going to magnify God instead. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, trying to do everything our own way, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment, venting, complaining, pouting, toiling away in our minds, trying to figure out all the problems in our own minds, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we got to recognize the symptoms. When we're in darkness, there might be the tendency to retaliate at people, or we snap at people. They might not even do anything to us, but we have all this internal pressure on the inside, which makes us more likely to snap at people, even when they've done nothing, really. You might withhold good things that you know to do because somebody did something to you. Might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you'll feel this heaviness and weight, like all the pressure sitting on you. Might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness, powerlessness, like there's no way out. You're trapped or you're stuck. Low energy is another big symptom of this. I think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and stress and worry toiling away in our mind, this torment in our mind as we're just rolling over the problems over and over, dreading things in the future, confusion about which steps to take or which direction to go. And you get stuck in these vicious cycles that seem to just keep repeating over and over again. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness in him, this completeness in him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels begin to rise up because you've got his peace and joy and spirit and power and mind and wisdom. It all just begins to flow through you. And now all of a sudden, we've got hope in any and every situation because we've got God with us. He just begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives, effortlessly setting us free as he does the work. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. That if we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around and get back into the light again. Because every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. If we ever miss it, though, we can get right back in position again. How do we do it? We start with humility. It's recognizing those symptoms and saying, wait a minute, I'm off track right now. Father, forgive me. I'm off track. We receive that forgiveness from him. We forgive ourselves and stop beating ourselves up over it. If we need to reconcile with other people, if we need to say we're sorry with other people, we take those steps to reconcile the relationships. Then you start praising and thanking him for his grace and his goodness and his love. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank you that what you put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming at me today with beauty and poise and grace. Help me tap into that and cultivate it at a greater level. You pray that simple prayer, you go through this little process, and you'll feel this immediate shift on the inside. You feel the peace and the joy and the love just begin to flow through you. Feel that weight lift off of you on the inside. This lightness comes into your spirit. The rest comes into your soul. It's an amazing gift. And then our third fundamental, we've got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us through the day, but we've got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with a journal before bed. Lately, we've been talking about putting some filters at the top of our journal. Just some short phrases or statements. And really what they are is they're commitments. They're decisions and commitments that we're making. We're going to walk out a new standard in our lives. One of the big ones we've talked about, God is doing continually good for me. I'm going to do the same for others. And it's keeping our eyes fixed when we don't realize sometimes God's working behind the scenes. And those times where we're tempted to worry and stress and doubt, realizing He's working behind the scenes. He's working continually good for me. And then we're going to do the same for other people. When other people do things that push our buttons, we're going to make that decision and that commitment. I'm going to do continually good for them. I'm going to do continually good for them just like God is doing for me. And that becomes our filter as we go throughout the day and life's throwing stuff at us throughout the day. That becomes our filter for making decisions. Just a short phrase that we can walk out our day by. And I like to write that at the top of my journal every night as kind of think of it like a compass. It's like true north on a compass. It helps get you back on track if you're ever drifting off track. And then we can start getting our position through gratitude and praise. And then we can start magnifying. What went well today? What are all the ways I saw God showing up? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were you trying to show me today? And just get still and listen for a couple minutes. And whatever comes into my mind, just get that back out of my head and onto the paper. And it's important to get out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day because God's trying to navigate us through the day. If you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take a couple minutes to slow down. Just 1 to 2 minutes. It doesn't take long. Take a deep breath. Focus on His presence with you. Feel that rest in your soul, that fullness in Him. Get that connection back with Him. And then the final thing I like to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I was trying to toil away in my mind and figure things out, trying to effort and force my way, force things to happen. And I would get out ahead of Him. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind Him because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. What do I know to do today? We list out that plan and we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day because this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. First thing in the morning, we're going to get connected with Him, connect with Him in His Word, start praising and thanking Him, start magnifying Him. And then we're going to walk out that plan together in partnership with God today with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence that He's right there with us every step of the way. And when we get to that place of just this confident faith, this simple childlike faith that just believes that God's right there with us every step of the way, all the doubt and unbelief is removed. This grace begins to surge through us and God begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives and beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of everything God has for us into our lives. So let's take a look at these scriptures today. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 24. It says, therefore, my dear friends, flee from idolatry. I speak to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? This cup that we have, the cup that we have here today, cup of thanksgiving, it's a cup of thanks for the participation in the blood of Christ. I was just reading in the Old Testament a little bit last night, talking about how The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. The life of our flesh is in his blood. And then it says, and is not the bread that we break, is not this bread that we break, a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one loaf. We who are many are one body, for we all share the one loaf. So consider the people of Israel. Do not those who eat the sacrifices participate in the altar? So those, the Levites and those who were offering the sacrifices, the priests and the Levites, don't they participate in the altar? They got to eat from that. Do I mean then that food sacrificed to an idol is anything? Or that an idol is anything? No, but the sacrifices of pagans are offered to demons, not to God. And I do not want you to be participants with demons. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons too. You cannot have part in both the Lord's table and the table of demons. Are we trying to arouse the Lord's jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Then it says the believer's freedom. I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but not everything is constructive. No one should seek their own good, but the good of others. So Heavenly Father, I felt like you were giving me the nudge that we were supposed to take communion over this passage of scripture today. And to be honest, I got it all ready to go, but I wasn't exactly sure where you wanted us to go with this. And I believe one of the things we're asking, Lord, is that you would just give us insight and revelation and understanding and knowledge of how these scriptures apply to us as we take communion regularly. We have the cup of thanksgiving. We have this bread that is the body, the one loaf, the representation of the one body of Christ. Father, we're asking for insight and revelation and wisdom into these scriptures today and how they apply to us personally, how we walk them out. We just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." So let's just take a moment to remember all that he went through for us. Smitten by God, crushed, bruised, spit on. By his stripes, we've been healed. Separated from God. It was so bad. It says Jesus gave up his spirit. Jesus gave up. That's how bad it was. But then I think it's also important we remember the other side of the cross. All that his sacrifice made available for us. That we're right and holy and perfect in God's sight. We can approach him with freedom and confidence. He's on our side. He's fighting for us. He eagerly desires to help us. Father, we thank you for this bread. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." The cup of thanksgiving, participation in his blood, and the life of the flesh is in the blood. Father, we thank you for this cup. It's this new covenant, this opportunity to know you and to have you in our lives. We ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your cup, you can take your juice. All right, let's talk about some health and fitness stuff here. We talked about today, the life of the flesh is in the blood. Something you'll see a lot of doctors, just regular doctors, just MDs, also a lot of people in the holistic health world will talk about areas of the body that are struggling with health. Could be even areas of the body that maybe are you store more body fat in. They typically have lower circulation to those areas. The flow of blood or circulation to those areas are typically not as good for whatever reason. And so one of the key priorities when it comes to health is getting the circulation throughout the body. Now, one of the things we do, if you look at our daily communion workouts, if you don't have the workouts, you can go to the abundantlifetrainingcenter.com. On the daily communion meditation emails that come out, there's a workout attached to those. But one of the things we do on the workouts is that we always start every single workout with two things. We start with calf raises. We start with calf raises. And one of the reasons why we do that is I believe calf raises, working through the feet, the blood and circulation tends to get stuck down into the feet. And so as we work those muscles down in the lower legs and feet and calves, it begins to circulate the blood throughout the body. So we want to get that blood circulating first as we start the workout. And then we go through what we call the mobility routine. And the mobility routine, the goal is to open up the body, which is going to help the blood to circulate more freely. So the life of the flesh is in the blood. We start with every workout with calf raises, and then we do a mobility routine to get the body opened up so that the blood can circulate more freely throughout the body. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to abundantlifetrainingcenter.com.